Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
To another episode of Tailgate Talk SEC, I am Will Thomas. Week 11 preview coming in hot. We're going to go through every SEC game that's happening this weekend, and we'll talk a little bit about the playoff rankings just to start. So I did a bit of an instant reaction video yesterday, but obviously that was lost in the proverbial sauce. But yeah, 1 and 2 is Ohio State and Indiana. 3 through 6, all SEC teams. In order, it's A&M, Bama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. Then you have BYU, Texas Tech at 7 and 8, Oregon at 9, Notre Dame at 10 for a reason unknown to most humans, Texas at 11, Oklahoma at 12. Then you have like Vandy at 16, you have Missouri at 22. Tennessee is still ranked because why? No one knows. No one knows what Tennessee is still ranked, but that's where the committee put these teams. Now, I mean, obviously that 3 through 6 clump of SEC teams, I think everyone is pretty safe except for Georgia, and I only say that Georgia's not because of their remaining schedule. Because they still have to play Texas. They have to go to Georgia Tech. Like, those are two losable games. Like, I'd be surprised, but you could tell me that Georgia finishes this year off 2-2, they go 9-3 and miss the playoff. I wouldn't be stunned because this team has not been dominant all year. And then you get two great teams who maybe, you know, they won't let you come back in the game. They won't let you make up for your mistakes. So it's possible. And there's a lot of people who are mad about Texas being 11. If the idea is that Texas doesn't belong ranked where they are, it's going to work itself out because they go to Athens and they host A&M. Like, if they're a fraud, they'll be proven as a fraud. So it's fine. Same thing with Oklahoma. They have to go to Tuscaloosa next weekend. So that'll be a fraud watch. I don't even want to say fraud watch. Those are both good teams. But just like playoff fraud watch, I guess. What I don't understand at all is why Notre Dame is number 10. Because their best win right now is against USC at home. They won that game by 10. Now, here's the other thing about this. Like, the idea that losses in the beginning of the year matter way less than losses late in the year, that I do believe exists. And I understand that people are upset about it because, like, if Notre Dame, they started off 0-2, but it's almost like it's fine because that happened in the beginning of the year, versus if they went 10-0, lost their next two, maybe it's a totally different story. Here's why I think it kind of, like, it's understandable. There is not one team ever in the history of the sport that has reached their potential in late August. Every team from August to November and December are incredibly different teams. Even go back just to last year, from November to December, Ohio State was an entirely different team. They went from losing at home to Michigan as 3-touchdown favorites to demolishing the entire playoff field. Like, teams develop throughout the year. You can even see it on a micro scale, but if you go from August to the playoff, that happens. So, in Notre Dame's case, I don't really have a problem with them getting back into the playoff in a vacuum after starting off 0-2. I wish they had a better win. I mean, USC is a fine win. They do have to go to Pitt, which I think is going to be a better win if they get it than it might seem on the surface. So I understand why people are kind of bothered by Notre Dame being number 10 right now. But it's like the other schools. Like, it'll either sort itself out or it'll prove to be right. So we'll see what happens with that. Was there anything else I want to talk about with the playoff? I mean, this Texas Tech BYU game is absolutely huge this week. Because BYU, 8-0 at number 7. Texas Tech, 8-1, number 8. If Texas Tech beats BYU here, then you have two Big 12 teams who are going to have one loss. I'd imagine neither team loses for the rest of the regular season. BYU won't. TCU's not a UCF. And Texas Tech has UCF. So, no, they won't. This is the last losable game for both these schools. So then they'd be one-loss teams facing off in the Big 12 championship, and you can't punish the loser. So the Big 12 would be a two-bid league. Maybe even three, with Utah sitting there at number 13 at 7-2. If they win out, which they should, Baylor, Kansas State, and Kansas, they could sneak in. So you're looking at a potential three-bid Big 12 based on how everything else pans out. If BYU beats Texas Tech, then I think you can maybe rule out Texas Tech. Then by that logic, you almost have to rule out Utah because Tech went and beat Utah. So I think that this game in Lubbock this week is the difference in potentially two bids going to the Big 12. And what that will do is massively shift the odds of a Texas or an Oklahoma or a second ACC school or a Vanderbilt getting into the playoff. This game at noon in Lubbock, Texas is going to, it has the playoff in a death grip right now. The implications of that game are absolutely huge. And just one more thing, I think A&M, my top three, it would have been Indiana, A&M, and Ohio State. And I know that that is a pretty contentious thing to say because Ohio State is the defending champions and they're undefeated. Ohio State could be the best team in the country, and I would, it's totally accurate, I think. It could be totally accurate, but when, like, Indiana has looked more impressive to me than Ohio State because of who they've beaten and how they've beaten them. I know Ohio State is also sledgehammering people. I understand that. But they didn't go winning awesome this year. And for I think A&M, going through just their strength of schedule, right? They beat Florida, who's not dead, I get it. But they went and won at Notre Dame. They won at LSU. They killed LSU. They caused LSU's death. So I'm giving them credit for that win. So I would go Indiana, A&M, Ohio State, solely based on resume at this point. Projection-wise, I got no problem with Ohio State being number one. But that's the question, right? Are you going off a resume or what do you think these teams are? No one ever knows the answer to that question. All right. Nice little few minutes of playoff talk there. Let's just get to this slate of SEC games, which doesn't look very good. But what that means is that something weird is going to happen. And I'm going to get to it actually pretty early, what I think is the weird thing that's going to happen. But first, Citadel at Ole Miss. I have four notes here. It's all for Ole Miss. Don't break or tear anything. Literally just survive. Avoid a natural disaster or cataclysmic event of some kind. And everyone just drive safe. You know, Ole Miss just needs to literally just get through this game, have nothing bad happen. Just keep cruising. Because I believe their only last two games are Florida and Mississippi State. Yeah, they play Citadel, Florida, bye week before their last game, and then Mississippi State to get into the playoffs. So for Ole Miss, just survive. Florida at Kentucky. This game is disgusting. Florida is favored by 3.5 with a total at 43.5. This is the lowest SEC total of the week, which was a little bit confusing to me. Because you have both defenses ranking in the bottom half of the SEC. Other side of that, though, both offenses ranking in the bottom four. But we know that Florida's offense at least has something, right, when they're healthy. Do they get Vernell Brown, Aiden Mizell back? We don't know. Dallas Wilson is out for the year. You still have Trey Wilson. You still have J. Michael Sturdivant. But my question for Florida is, do they still fight after the loss to Georgia? Because that wasn't just a loss. That was a heartbreaker, given how they lost that game, right? You had the lead late. Fourth down, failed, they score, catch, no catch. I'm not on the ref train, just the heartbreak of that game. And with how hard this season has been for Florida, like that really felt like the game they could win to salvage something, and they just didn't do it. So I wonder how they fight back from that, because both teams do need to go 3-1 to finish, to make a bowl game. Now, Kentucky's not going to do that, because they had this game against Florida, a cupcake game, but then they go 2 Vandy and 2 Louisville. They're losing at least 2 of those games. Florida, it feels a little more possible because you get Kentucky, then you're at Ole Miss, which is their only road game. Then they host Tennessee, who does not win in Gainesville, and they host Florida State, who's dead. So, and they can play with anybody, as we've seen, but do they still have the fire to go out there and compete and try and win 3 more games to make a bowl game? Don't know. Because Florida, I'm not sure if they do get off the mat to go play this game this like hard enough on the road against a Kentucky team who's coming off of their first SEC win of the year at Auburn. So do they come in fired up? You have Stoops probably coaching for his job, although I'm not sure it's going to matter in the end. I don't really know what to make of this game at all. I mean, Florida, this is their first time being favored in Lexington in a while, relative to this rivalry. Not like actually that long of a time, but it's an interesting note, and I'm assuming that Florida is going into this game favored for a reason. I mean, they're way more talented, and I think we can kind of assume just a baseline effort of this team is going to play, you know, to X percent of their possible capability, and that should be enough. So I'll say Florida wins an ugly one, like 21-17 or something, like just something that you don't want to watch, don't want to look at. That game's going to be slow. I think it's going to be slow, and Florida needs to have something go right Right. I mean, you would think at some point they get another win here. Kentucky, I still think, is very good. I don't like Kentucky at all. But moving on now, Georgia at Mississippi State. This is where it gets weird. Georgia is favored by 7.5, the total at 57.5. These are pretty comparable offenses because Mississippi State actually scores just less than one more point per game than Georgia. State throws for more per game. Georgia runs for more per game. There is a large gap defensively, though, because Georgia's defense is third in yards allowed per game in the SEC. Mississippi State is 14th. Now, Georgia is coming off that emotional win over Florida, but now you have to travel to Starkville, start in at 11 a.m. local time with all these cowbells running against a Mississippi State team who just won their first conference game under Jeff Lebby, period, in thrilling fashion on the road, and you're coming home. But this really is the ultimate spot, trap spot for Georgia. They're coming off the Florida win. Now you have this little sleepy road spot, and then Texas is coming to you next week. Are Kirby teams immune to that? Those sort of trap spot, letdown spot? 2 years ago, I would have said yes, but this is not the Kirby teams that we've seen in the years past. They are whistling by the graveyard. They have a lot of flaws that they're able to overcome because of just like the competitive character of the team. But at some point, those slow starts, those flaws, those missed opportunities, they're going to bite you. Now, it's more feasible to expect that would happen against a team like a Texas or Georgia Tech, but on the road against a Mississippi State team that we've seen have some serious fire at home, almost beating Texas and Tennessee at home, I wonder if this could be where they bite them. Because State has nothing to lose. They're going out there, they're still playing hard because they weren't expected to, you know, win nine games. So the slow start, sub 500 record, I'm pretty sure, is not going to get to them and be like, okay, well, let's just go home. Like, they're going to come out there and fight. Getting Georgia in your building is a game you get up for every single time. And for the Bulldogs, in theory, they still have a loss in their back pocket to make the playoff. So could they be focusing inadvertently, subconsciously, on their harder games against Texas and Georgia Tech? Kind of knowing, like, if we win both of those games, we're going to be good. Because if they do that, if they lose to Mississippi State, but then still win both those games, I think they can still get in. The alarms are going off for me in this game, and I can't turn them off. I'm going to go Mississippi State wins this game, like, 31-28. Jeff Lebby gets his first home SEC win in his Mississippi State career, and the Bulldogs get a big one over Georgia. Now, this is going to set people off on Georgia's playoff chances. But I think if Georgia loses this game especially, I think they're going to go beat Texas the next week because that's what the competitive character of this team does, and I think they can beat Georgia Tech in the end. If Georgia loses to State and still gets in the playoff, there might be some problems among the people. I don't really care, but I do believe that Georgia is in a tough spot here. So I'll go Mississippi State to pull the upset over Georgia this Saturday. Now, again, that I'm actually going to be at, because I'm in Nashville. Auburn at Vanderbilt. Vandy is favored by 6.5, total of 45.5. This is Auburn's first game without Hugh Freeze. So how do they respond? Do they fight? Because there's not, well, like we've seen with other schools who have fired their coaches, UCLA beat Penn State. Florida, inspired effort over Georgia. Auburn, I feel like, doesn't have that same juice. Right? Like, there's zero excitement around this team. This is not a rivalry game or anything that they want to get up for. And you're traveling to a team in Vanderbilt that's in a must-win spot. It's weird to say for Vanderbilt, who's a touchdown favorite at home, as sort of a back-against-the-wall mode, but they need to win out to make the playoff, or have a shot at the playoff. They have the third-best SEC offense in points per game, but you're going against an Auburn defense that is fourth-best in the league in points per game. And the Tigers haven't allowed 24 points all season, or more than 24, and they're 4-5. Because of this offensive incompetence. There are only three schools who have done that defensively, allowed 24 or less every single game. It's Ohio State, who's one, Indiana, who's two, and Auburn, who's not even playing the same sport. It's an absurd stat. And their whole offense for Auburn is just a massive question mark. I don't think they're able to discover something new in just 1 week, right? There's no bye here for DJ Durkin and their DC taking over to really like have time to establish something new. So you have only just 1 week with a defensive guy in charge. I don't think their offense is able to find something new. The question really comes down to how does their defense show up? Because Vanderbilt wants to run slow-developing, methodical plays, march down the field. And Texas had the athletes last week to really blow that up. because Vandy was taking too long in the backfield to get into their stuff. And with how fast Texas's front seven was, they just kind of ate them alive for the first three quarters of that game. Now, Auburn's athletes, they're not the same caliber as Texas's in that front seven, but they're still there. Like, Auburn is more talented than Vanderbilt is on the line of scrimmage. They just are. But kind of like what I said, I just think Auburn, there's no juice, and it's mainly an offensive problem. I've got Vandy like 24-6 in this game. I think it'll be like loosely competitive for a while, and I think it just sort of be one of those things where it's like a one-score game for most of it, but then Vandy pulls away late because Auburn just can't do anything offensively. Like, I think Auburn's defense will still show up. If I'm right, they'll hold that 24-point streak still. I've got Vandy because I think Auburn is just dead. I think Auburn's done. And could they come out and win this game and prove me horribly wrong? Yes. And will I have to address it to a camera? Yeah, but no one's really seeing this anyway, so who really cares? You know, who really cares? Like, I got Vandy comfortably, but not as comfortable as the score would imply. So give me the Doors to go to 8-2 in this spot. Two more games. A little more fun, a little more exciting. This first one, although maybe it's exciting. LSU at Alabama. Bama minus 10.5, total at 50.5. This game just comes down to me is you know, does LSU show up? Because Alabama is not 10 points better than LSU. They're just not. But does LSU roll over and just play until the clock runs out? I don't think they will, because LSU is not in the same spot to me as Auburn is. Because with how much came out about the environment that Brian Kelly had created and how there was not a whole lot of love for him among the staff, the current players or former players, I think LSU is going to kind of have some juice, right? The bad man is gone. Like, we can kind of play free now. We have people around us now that care about us and appreciate us. Let's go out there and give a good effort, because this LSU defense still has those same playmakers that everybody was salivating over in the beginning of the year. The last 2 weeks, they allowed 31 to Vandy and 49 to A&M. They quit against A&M, for starters, in that 49-point game. But both those teams are just really good offensively. They're really good. So with new juice and energy, a fresh start, does their defense get some swagger back? And even if they do, I'm still worried about this LSU offense, because Nussmeier literally cannot be healthy. He gets hit so much. He's not afraid to get hit, which is a good thing. But at a certain point, you're like, dude, can you just get rid of the ball so you don't die in the pocket? Because Bama has the number 2 pass defense in the SEC to start. So LSU wants to throw the ball because they can't really run it very well. So Bama's secondary is going to be very good and very strong against this LSU passing offense that still hasn't really found its stride. And Bama's run defense isn't great. And LSU maybe found some running game against A&M that kind of got overlooked because of that final score. But Alabama is the favorite to win the SEC for a reason. I do believe Bama overall has a better athlete profile than LSU does. It's not 10 points worth, but they are a little stronger, I do believe, in the trenches, both sides, better athletes. So I'm going to take Bama like 27-17. I'm not confident that they cover, so I'll go a 10-point game. LSU covers by the hook, but give me Bama by like 27-17 to keep rolling in the SEC. LSU drops a tough one on the road in a game that's probably pretty competitive. Right, like, I gotta imagine this is similar to the Vandy game, Vandy-Auburn, where, you know, it's a one-score game the whole time. Bama's kind of got an arm's length, and they win by 2 scores late. And final game, Texas A&M at Missouri. A&M favored by 6.5. I think the line's up to 7 now. Total around 49.5. This is the first start for Matt Zollers for Missouri, and he played really good against Vandy on the road when he came in that spot. But his reward now for his very first start in college is to go against Cassius Howell in a defensive line who has 32 sacks on the season. Like I said, Zollers played very well in Nashville last game for Missouri, but now there's tape on him, and now he's being prepped for. That's a different animal than kind of coming in like, surprise, here's Matt Zollers. So can they lean on the run and make it easy for Zollers in Missouri? Because Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts, they're so good. And Missouri is the top rushing offense in the SEC for a reason. A&M's rush defense is only 7th in the SEC. So it's good, but it's not great. It's not great by any means. So I think there might be an edge there to feed Hardy and Roberts. Both teams are off a bye, so there's not really a scheduling benefit for either side. A&M has been dealing with the rat poison after that game against LSU, but they've kind of been dealing with it for a while. Right, like after the Notre Dame win, people are talking about this A&M team being legit. After a bunch of other big wins, like maybe they turned a corner. This A&M team is different. I'm now ready to say yes, because I've been kind of buying into those drop-off spots for the Aggies. Hasn't paid off yet. They have made me look really dumb. So now, if I look dumb, it's because A&M lost. And Marcel Reed, he's just so electric with those wide receivers, Craver and Concepcion. But they are going up against the top defense in the SEC in yards per game. Missouri is the top pass defense, and they're the fourth best rush defense. Here's why I don't care. Because A&M has played three road games all year. They scored 41 against Notre Dame, 45 against Arkansas, and 49 against LSU. I'm not worried about this team having to go on the road and perform. They're arguably better on the road so far than they have been in Kyle Field. And for Missouri, in games against ranked teams, which is only Bama and Vandy, they scored 24 and 10. Their performance has not scaled up to play against the better teams that they faced. Against weaker teams, they've been great, but they have not been able to scale that to perform well against these better teams. So give me A&M 31-21, something like that. I think the Aggies keep rolling and stay undefeated, and Missouri will grab their third loss and officially be out of playoff contention, even though I think they are already. So there you have it. That is the Week 11 preview for the SEC. A good bit of games I think could be close. They're not going to blow you away with, you know, the matchups, a bunch of the implications, but I think, you know, Florida, Kentucky should be close. I think Mississippi State can beat Georgia. Like, it's a bit of a sleepy week, but I don't think there'll be sleepy games. So this should be a really fun week of football, as they always are. We only have, I think, four of these left now in the regular season, so cherish it, hold it tight, and thank you guys so much for watching this episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. If you did enjoy, please subscribe. I've been Will Thomas, and I will talk to you next time.